Time for our footy chat for the new Kia Niro electric SUV range. A great interview with the mums and dads, gents. It brings out the human side from the families, which is absolutely fantastic. I love it too. I love talking to the families, just seeing how they're preparing for this weekend. Wispy Michael Voss appears. He's over. Looks to be in seat 1A for the Carlton coaching job. It's interesting. I think it was Chris Davies who said that the changes he's seen in Michael Voss, and this is what happened second time round, which is becoming Brett Ratton, and now it becomes Michael Voss. So we always used to say, why don't these coaches get a second chance? And it would appear that this is, maybe it's going to become a trend. He seeks copious amounts of feedback. He's been much better at man management. He's much better technically. Ollie Wines says he's just the extraordinary motivator. So all of that speaks to what you'd hope from Vossi second time around, doesn't it?
100%. He's been in charge of the development, the leadership program there, the personal development stuff too. So he's had a great all-round experience in football. You can't be ready, Gary, when you're given a job as early as what he was given. You just can't be. As great a player as he might have been, he can't have been ready for what was going to confront him at the Brisbane Lions in terms of the experience, the all-round experience you needed. So, of course, these guys are going to be better second time round. And I bet overall he wasn't the same bloke as he is right now. He wouldn't have been going to whoever it was back in the day as the CEO of the Brisbane Lions asking for feedback, because he's come out of the game as a player and he would have been overwhelmed by the enormity of the job that he had at hand as well. So, Now he's far more comfortable in his own skin too as a human being, which means that he's going to be a better coach.
When you're first time around, you probably don't want to show any vulnerability, you think, oh, and they'll be looking at me knowing that I haven't done any assistant coaching, so I've just got to be so strong. I can't be seen to be asking for too much advice because they might think I'm not ready. So all those things would have to play out, but I think you're right. So. And then now he's going to go and surround himself with assistant coaches and put together that team. So that whole assistant coaching merry-go-round that we spoke about yesterday, they've got another page in that book with Rob Harvey hooking up with the Hawthorn Footy Club and going out with Sam Mitchell.
Yep, and he's had a lot of great experiences as well. He's coached in his own right for a short period of time, which he said he learned a lot about him and the coaching experience. So I think, when you're setting up a coaching panel, you need a group of people, obviously, that have had different experiences, are at different stages of their life, have different personalities, have different skills that they're going to be able to bring to the table. So I'm not surprised that Hawthorn have given him that opportunity to coach again.
And how much like the two competing teams who have had great success this year, both these teams are in the weekend. So then their coaches become a subject of great interest for other clubs. So I see where Stephen King's name's now really strong on the wish list. Could he go back to Geelong? Because then Geelong, he could bring his, all the intelligence that he's been able to garner through the Lukey Beveridge time. And like Uze go to Melbourne, so he brings the Clarkson intelligence, Jocko Williams. So that is seen to have been a big part of Melbourne's success, is getting that assistant coaching group right.
That's right. And there's a sharing of information that goes right through the football ranks, Gary. And I spoke to somebody the other day that had sat down and interviewed some coaches. And he said one of the remarkable things was when you sat there and talked to them, how similar their views were, and when they sat down and explained what you're trying to do defensively, how similar that was. So it goes through the competition, and obviously when you're sitting down and choosing a coach, you've got to have somebody that's going to be a leader and somebody that can bring what they believe is the most important parts of all that and combine it with the talent they've got at their disposal and try and get the best out of their group. Just one other thing too, and Simon Goodwin spoke about this yesterday. He said that Blighty taught me, make sure you keep the enjoyment and keep the environment light where the players are still enjoying themselves. That's the type of environment that he's trying to create at Melbourne. And then I was reading about Jenny Williams. Jenny Williams is the sister of Mark Williams, right? And she was saying in this interview in the Herald Sun today that I think that people underestimate the impact of a joyous person around the place. She was explaining Mark and his personality and what he might bring to the club. Isn't it interesting? You go back to yesteryear when we were playing. Did anyone ever try and create a joyous environment around their footy?
Not so much whilst you were playing, but outside of that. that we had people that were, you know, their roles, whether defined or not, took it upon themselves to make sure there was a way. Like when I first got there, Shane Zantuck, Greg Wells, those two blokes were part of the sort of coaching, and also Wellsy was the chairman of selectors. They were magnificent at that. They were just, you know, Swooper loved it as well because they could, you know, coach hard and play hard, you know, but when it came time to lighten up, they led the charge and it was important for us.
You know, Sheeds at one, so this was the genius of Sheeds. At one stage when things weren't going particularly well, we went to a pizza restaurant in Moonee Ponds after training one night and there could have been champions turned up. Al's on the road. Good morning, Al.
What?
For some fun. Good morning, Al.
Morning. First, Gary, I think waking up, what is it, 2 hours earlier, what do you get up now, 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning to catch the show? You're doing a great job. We can't even tell you're asleep or anything. Secondly, I have a question for you guys. Anybody who's played any kind of game at a high level would know that you often play games in your head time and over again. Do you think the fact that Bulldogs have been to a grand final and Melbourne haven't, and Melbourne have had a lot more time on their hands thinking about this, may somehow psychologically affect them? And would they have a psychologist kind of helping you out with this? Because I think that's the only disadvantage they have, the fact that Bulldogs have played in the grand final 5 years ago and know what they got to go through, and Melbourne has had to sit around for almost 2 weeks or maybe even 3 weeks to think about this. What's your thoughts on this, guys?
Well, that's a good question. Before we answer it, I think Max Gorn was asked this last night on AFL 360 about how hard or how different or how difficult that week off was without any footy.
Oh, really? I'm going to be honest. It's been the hardest week of my life because as skipper and as someone that's incredibly driven as a 30-year-old guy that might not be able to get this chance again, I'm dedicating everything to be able to win this flag. But a lot of the young millennials now need to get away from football. And I'm sitting there watching people in the first week go out and play some golf, go for a surf, and stuff like that. And it does tear your hair out as a captain, but These guys need that. They need to get away from football. But now what's really good is we flick the switch where we're into footy.
So what he's saying for Al is that, yes, it is a long 2 weeks, but the first week from a Melbourne point of view anyway is they tried to switch off and get away from footy a fair bit. Now, how much that works out, I think, having been there, is a decided advantage for the Dogs, absolutely.
Do you think the idea of having experience is overplayed?
Oh, it depends how much. No, I think it's worth something. I just don't know what percentage it is. I've not been there and won one, and I've been there but not won one, and so I don't know. You'd be better off telling me that. You've played in plenty, and
I've seen it both ways. I've seen it work either way. I think the experiences that they've had, Melbourne, because of what happened to them a few years ago and how many players played in that prelim final and then what happened last. Yeah, I think their build-up and around the club and the fact that they've got somebody like a Simon Goodwin who's been there a number of times. I think he's handled the situation really well and the mood of the playing group really well. Choco Williams, obviously. I don't think the players are going to get there and be overawed by the occasion. I don't think they will be. In what we've been able to detect about the way they've been playing. Paul's in Rosanna. Good morning, Paul.
Hi, guys. Hi, Gary. I'm a Bulldogs member and I'm 100% behind the Doggies, but when the final siren goes and Melbourne's in front, I'll be wrapped for people like you.
Geez, that's a nice thing to say, Paul, and I would be too. If we're not good enough, the Demons aren't good enough to win, then the Dogs, who are only in their fourth ever grand final, would be a sensational result for them as well, mate. So that's a very nice thing to say. Appreciate it. And what else is kicking around there, Whispers?
What about Jordan?
Soss.
Yeah, Soss. Okay, we'll play this grab from Soss, okay? He's just talking here about Steve Coniglio and where his future might lie, where he stands right now with GWS. Have a listen to what he had to say on Trade Radio.
When you see him not playing in the midfield and now he's sort of playing as a small forward, it's probably a lot of money to be paid as a small forward. You know, he's almost wasted a little bit. He's a ripping person, trains really, really hard. I reckon in an ideal world, if he was at his best and was able to get back to his best football, they'd want to keep him. If he's playing at the capacity he is at the minute, I think they'd like to see him move on.
That's a good point that he makes, and that is that when they extended his contract and gave him like a great contract, a long contract, and he's going to be really well paid, they would have been paying him at that time to be the midfielder, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. And to be one of the very best.
That's right. And he slipped out of their best midfield combination.
I think it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because his very best, I used to love Stephen Finlay. I used to think it was absolutely elite. And I just think injuries have had a really big impact on what he's done over the past couple of years. So I don't know whether I'd rush to get him out the door right now. I think I'd have another look at him for another year on that money.
We've spoken before. You actually think that he's been impacted by injury and his inability to be able to train at the levels that he's wanted to be able to train at.
Yeah, I think if he could start training now for next year and have an uninterrupted run, then I don't think it's over for him in terms of getting back to that really elite level. Anyway, that's just my opinion. The all-new Kia Niro electric SUV range available as a hybrid, plug-in hybrid, full electric. 2 days to go.